right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are taking a look at Everyday Health's take based on their survey of stress. One of the focuses is financial worries and the stress that it's causing. And we were talking about this just a short while ago, and one of the things that we mentioned is that there is this such a thing as resilience. You all know that we've talked about that a number of times on this program. Resilience, the ability to bounce back, the ability to recover from some of those gut punches. Yes. And we're looking at stress, and one of the things that Kelly Holland was talking about with regards to resilience and the fact that, according to the survey, Black Americans reported really and truly less stress than Hispanics and white only American citizens. And we were talking about the fact that that was a puzzling finding in light of the fact that so many Black Americans experience so much more stress than white Americans and Hispanic Americans. And we also know about some of these health issues that Black Americans experience. And so we were looking at some of the findings that the experts came up with regarding this matter. You know, because they were wondering about it too, especially knowing that white Americans live an average of 3.6 years longer than Black Americans, and that Black Americans are at higher risk for chronic health conditions like hypertension, stroke, obesity, heart disease, and cancer than other racial and ethnic groups. Health conditions are themselves stressful. I was thinking about that. I mean, it is stressful to have a health condition. It can be stressful just keeping up the regimen that is needed to help deal with the health condition. For example, the person who has diabetes and they have to check their insulin levels several times a day, every day of the year, every year, year in and year out. Have to take insulin. Have to eat certain types of foods at a certain time of the day, every day. What a regimen to follow. That is absolutely necessary. It's a good thing to do. It can also be stressful. And that's why some diabetics move away from the regimen, even if only temporarily. Health conditions can be stressful, and yet Black Americans report less stress. How could this population, how could the Black Americans face all that we stress and yet seem to be the least stressed out of all? That's what the experts wanted to find. And they learned about the work of researchers such as Shervin Asari, MD and MPH, who's a research assistant professor of psychiatry and public health at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Dr. Asari's research suggests that while white Americans on average are physically the healthiest group of the three, they are also on average less resilient. In other words, less able to successfully adapt to life tasks in the face of highly adverse conditions than Black Americans. Dr. Asari says that one reason for this is that white Americans are less prepared to cope with adversity because they have less experience coping with adversity. They have less experience with adversity. By contrast, minority groups in the United States have consistently lived under adverse economic and social conditions, exposed to a disproportionate share of adverse childhood experiences and the weathering effects of hardship, with chronic stressors such as racism leading to sustained high effort coping. And as a result, internal wear and tear. Remember, I was sharing with you that they were looking at the cost of this resilience. And so it's not really the cost of the resilience per se, so much as it is the wear and tear of what it is that we're having to bounce back from. You figure the people who experienced financial hardships during the Great Recession, the recent one, and many of them had never experienced financial hardship before. They had read about it. They had heard about other people going through it, but they had never experienced it themselves until the Great Recession, where we had quite a few middle-income families becoming impoverished for the first time ever. And quite naturally, that was stressful for them. Can you imagine if it was so stressful for them that many of them had to seek help, and not just financial help, help of all kinds that they needed? With that first-time incident having shaken them, what about families who lived through this all year, every year, for 7, 9, 10 generations? Let's go all the way back to slavery and come up to today's time. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, stress, stress, stress. And you talk about internal wear and tear. It's no surprise that Black people have more problems with heart disease, stroke, obesity, hypertension, cancer, diseases, disorders, conditions that are going to have to arise from what we do, what we go through. Fortunately, or unfortunately, however you want to see it, white Americans aren't exposed to that. They don't have to deal with that the way Black Americans do. And so they don't have to deal with the internal wear and tear that people of color, especially the Black race, have to deal with. But also as a result, they're not as well equipped to know how to respond to stressors. First-hand experiences may have taken a toll on the health of African Americans, but they also may have engendered a belief and ability to handle new stressors, according to Dr. Asari. The interplay between chronic stress, and we know by now chronic stress is a bad thing. We're not wired for it. We're not prepared for that. No one can deal with chronic stress, deal with it well. But the interplay between chronic stress and race, ethnicity, is complicated. There's been research, for example, on the transmission of stress between generations and on depression, as it may manifest differently in African-American men. Some research and many personal testimonials also suggest that Black Americans are less likely to report symptoms of mental illness. And that's something that I definitely wanted us to get to. Less reporting of mental illness. Less reporting of it. Why? Partly because in the Black community, there's a greater level of shame about mental illness, about admitting that we are truly stressed out. And that's one of the reasons that you hear me talk about this so often and try to encourage people to not be ashamed that you need support when it comes to mental health. We break our legs, ladies and gentlemen. We need support from someone who is trained to help us get that leg fixed properly. You know, we have some issues with smoking. There are times when people need help from people who are trained to help people stop smoking. And if we need help, we need help. When we need support, We need support. That's not a bad thing. It is good when we can say to ourselves and to someone else, I need some support in this area. And then seek after that support. Do it. Yes, do not continue to suffer needlessly. Taraji P. Henson founded the Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation, partly out of response to the silence in the Black community about mental health issues. She named her foundation for her late father, who was a Vietnam veteran who suffered mental health challenges as a result of his wartime experience. And the foundation has multiple related missions, including encouraging the training of African-American therapists, supporting mental health in urban schools. How many of you were relieved, maybe even glad, when you found out that in Parkland, they had the schools filled with therapists who could help the children cope with the stress that they've gone through as a result of the shootings? This is something that has been needed for decades in predominantly Black schools in the inner cities. Supporting mental health in urban schools is something that Taraji P. Henson's foundation is pushing for. Reducing prison recidivism and encouraging Black Americans with mental health issues to speak up and seek help. That is critical, ladies and gentlemen, truly critical. Don't hide it. There's something going on with the mind, with the brain. Seek help. Don't let it get worse. You let it get worse, guess what? The problems, the associated problems are going to be worse. And think about this from an altruistic perspective, too. If we're having problems, mental health issues, and we go ahead and just try to remain quiet, hope that the issue will get better on its own. Well, what if it doesn't get better on its own? And the probability is it won't get better on its own. Things will get better if we allow someone who is trained to help us to help us. And so, if we go ahead and let the situation get worse and worse and worse, eventually we're going to be causing even more problems, creating more stress for our loved ones. Let's not do that to them. Let's go ahead and seek that support early on. So they're looking at this. And there's studies like the geography of desperation in America, a 2017 report by the Brookings Institution. They found that while poor racial minorities often face worse poverty-related challenges than do poor non-Hispanic whites, they're significantly more optimistic about the future and commit suicide less. What are some of the sources of this kind of resiliency among Black Americans? Non-economic resources like connection to family, social support, and religion are all key to maintaining a healthy physical and mental response to stress. Tolerable stress, something that McEwen calls allostatic load, can be an acute life event. The death of a loved one, the loss of a job. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the loss of a job can be heavy duty stress. An accident. Things that make a person feel a loss of a sense of control. The events may be severe, but if you have a good sense of internal support, good self-esteem, and external social and emotional support, you can weather the storm. Aspirations or expectations may also matter. As the Brookings report notes, poor Blacks and Hispanics tend to report they're better off than their parents were, while many blue-collar whites are facing a reality of downward mobility as jobs go extinct and family structures weaken. Not all minority or marginalized groups possess supportive resources. Because there are minorities that are not minorities of color. The lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community appears to be highly stressed. Arlene T. Geronimus, who's a doctor of science, a professor in the School of Public Health, and a research professor at the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, says that this is not surprising. Dr. Geronimus's weathering theory addresses both the corrosive and the strength-building aspects of adversity in marginalized groups. LGBTQ people, unlike the Black American population, are not generally raised from birth with a strong sense of LGBTQ identity or community, nor do they have generations of pooled adaptive responses passed on to them by their families to build resilience to homophobia per se. Dr. Sari has found marginalized communities, even those who have a culture of coping, are at risk of losing some of their resilience when some of their circumstances change for the better. In his study, as Black Americans experience economic gains, they don't retain as much resilience. That may be because upwardly mobile Blacks tend to move to white neighborhoods where resilience is often tempered by distance from family and social support, like the church, as well as a new stressor, more frequent exposure to racism. So to resolve these issues, Dr. Sari says, society really needs to change how it treats minorities. According to Dr. Geronimus, when facing chronic, toxic stressors, resilience alone is not a panacea. Resilience requires physiological coping and comes at a disproportionate cost to health for individuals in marginalized communities. And so Dr. Geronimus insists we really need to strengthen the institutions and the societal elements that help us mentally and emotionally weather adversity, while eliminating those that weather or even eat away at our health. All right. We're going to take a look some more at stress and what it is doing to Americans in just a few.